You're listening to Radio DePaul, voted best online station in the nation in 2012 and 2013. This is Radio DePaul, Chicago's college connection.
From the second city
to your front pocket,
this is Radio DePaul,
Chicago's college connection.
Hey, Kyle, you want to grab lunch on Thursday?
I actually can't. I'm going to be in my internship.
I didn't know you had an internship. How'd you get that? You're only a sophomore.
Well, I connected with a DePaul alumni through the Career Center. There's a program called ASK that connects students with mentors that can help them with interviews or possibly get internships or just answer any questions that they have.
That sounds awesome. Where can I go to find out about this?
Well, you can just stop by the Career Center or go to ask.depaul.edu.
Awesome!
This message brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection.
The most dangerous trend on college campuses. The Juul. The vapor clouds of Juuls on college campuses are prevalent everywhere. Small clouds of vapor rise to the heavens as students depart from the buildings. But it needs to be known, Juul is not cool. Stay clear of the dangerous trend and be cool. This message brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's college connection.
Good morning, Scrawl Nation. Today is Friday, June 7th, and this is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. You're listening to Scrawl Radio, hurried but well-considered thoughts, by writers, for writers, brought to you by the University Center for Writing-Based Learning, a.k.a. The Aquable. I'm your host, Riley O., joined by my co-hosts, Gia Z, Marina B., and Katie A. Today, we're talking about queer writing.
Woo woo.
Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month. We love that. Yeah, this is exciting. This is also our last episode of the year.
Yeah.
Summer.
Which is wild. Let's finish it with a bang.
Yeah. Queer writing. A bang if I've heard one. Mm-hmm. So it's Pride Month, which is great.
Just so cool.
A lot of us are queer, which is cool. Huh. And we were like, why not talk about some of our favorite queer authors?
There's a lot.
We've compiled a bit of a list.
Yeah.
We'll see. This is a bit of a challenge.
Yeah. How many
we can really get through.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first thing I would want to think about is like, so, lots of queer writers talk about their queerness in different ways. Mm-hmm. Any of you, do your minds jump to a particular writer or a particular way that they talk about their queerness?
This is not something that's on our show plan, because I'm reading something new by a queer writer. Uh-huh. But I'm reading a poetry collection called God Box. Mm. It's by Mallory. Do you know the last name, Katie?
Witten. I think it definitely starts with a W and an H. So
there you go.
Do with that what you will.
Yeah. But she talks about her queerness in a pretty like transitionary way, where she's discussing like those first moments of like understanding her queerness and then, but like not acting on it and remaining in this kind of like straight facade. And like just the difference she feels like around like women, like romantically, you know, than men and stuff. And I thought it was really interesting. I noticed a lot of writing from queer writers that kind of discuss that kind of like, I kind of want to say origin story.
No, yeah, that
like
queer
they're a superhero or something. But the origin story, the gay origin story.
Emerging I fell from into the darkness.
I fell into
a pot of radioactive acid.
And now I'm gay. But I like seeing, I like hearing about those moments where people are kind of like, oh, like this feels better.
Yeah. Did you guys see on Twitter? That reminded me. Did you guys see on Twitter that Anne Frank was bi?
Yeah.
I was literally, when you said that, I was about to say, I was like, Frank. I was going to be like, I actually recently just like, and I think honestly, if I really think back, that might be the first time that I ever read something that was like explicitly just like dealt with like a personal narrative of like coming out, basically. Because I think that we read, or at least I read, like the unabridged version.
Oh yeah.
And in schools,
was it censored out?
In schools, yeah. There's a lot that they don't like when you read Anne Frank in a school, there's like school versions where they edit out, basically. She talks about like menstruating for the first time. She talks about like going masturbation, and she talks about being gay, like realizing that she's like, I read the excerpt. She has a crush on that guy, but then she also basically, there's like a whole page, and this is, I think, probably what you saw, where she's like, oh, I'm like realizing that like I love women and I would want to spend the rest of my life with a woman, and like they're so beautiful and like I want to kiss them, and like I don't.
The last line.
Yeah, that might be a little stronger than I has a crush on a guy.
Yeah. I read the excerpt like really recently because I saw it on Twitter, and I loved the last line, just said, if only I have a girlfriend. Yeah. And I was like, Yeah.
I felt that.
I felt that, Anne. Not in the same way, because, you know.
I did not come across this on Twitter. I will need to read this.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's been making the rounds.
Anne Frank is gay, and they lied to us about it, basically. Yeah.
Not surprised.
Not surprised at all. But yeah, that's surprising.
Honestly, I think in that same vein, and this like does relate to queer writing, but like I think that there are so many historical figures that are or were gay, and that is like totally glossed over in a lot of history. Like I know that Eleanor Roosevelt was a lesbian.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And famously,
there's a lot of first lady being attracted to women narratives that like you can dive into, especially on the internet. Mary Todd Lincoln, also our only bachelor president, James Buchanan, had like male friends that would like sleep in his room, and like I love the queer presidential narrative.
Such good friends.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good for us. Yeah.
That makes me patriotic again.
I think there are a lot of books out there that maybe let me see how you feel about this.
Put something out there.
So I think there are a lot of books out there that aren't necessarily outwardly about queer context, but are discussing like I've read books before that like do not mention queerness, but at the same time I'm like, this character is gay.
Or
like picture Dorian Gray or something.
Yeah, but the example I think of is Catcher.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote an essay in high school about how Catcher in the Rye is actually just about like a young man who's struggling with his like queerness and like accepting it.
Honestly, I think that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I sign off on that.
Yeah, because through the whole book, he's like obsessed with his roommate.
Yeah.
He's always talking about how he's like sleeping with girls, but it's not like,
He's super unfulfilled by it.
He doesn't like it.
He like doesn't want women to touch him.
And he's like too young to be that burnt out already about being with women.
Yeah,
he thinks everyone else is a poser.
Yeah, and it's a lot of it's a self projection. Exactly. I wrote a whole essay on how I was like, you know, he's projecting a lot of like anti queerness like upon other people by being like people are fake and posers, but like Holden, you're the fake one.
You're the fake one, Holden.
But like also you want to hold him.
Hold him, Caulfield.
There we go.
But yeah, I think that there are a lot of I wanna talk to Salinger and be like, okay. It's Holding gay.
You're trying to pull a fast one on me there, but I knew.
And I've said that to like other people. I think there's a very like large when you talk about books like that, especially classics, there's a lot of pushback on those kinds of ideas. Like I've said that before to like many people where I'm like, I think Holden Caulfield's gay, and they're like, no.
I don't think so.
He is the epitome of like young masculinity.
He has a hat. Gays don't wear hats.
Yeah.
And
they're
the
like
hunting hat.
They're like, there's a prostitute. And I was like, he doesn't do anything with her. And you know,
isn't he literally like, can't we just talk?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, can't we just talk? And then she's like, are you for real? Like,
and you know what that does? Supports your theory more than anything.
Yeah. There's a whole thing where his like not girlfriend but like love and interest. Yeah. I think her name's Sally, but I don't think that's true. It's something like
it's with an S.
It's something like general American, you know. There's like that scene where they're in a cab and she like touches his thigh or something, and he feels he's like, I'm gonna vomit.
He's like
I immediately felt like I was gonna vomit, and I was like, okay, honey. Sounds like there's some inner turmoils going on. But
And like Moby Dick is really homoerotic.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
I've never read Moby Dick. Mm-hmm.
That is so real. The Great Gatsby.
Oh.
There's a huge, like, when I read The Great Gatsby, I had recently learned of a reading of it where, like, you read Gatsby as black, mm-hmm. and, what is it, Nick Carraway? Is that his name?
Yeah.
The narrator is gay, and it adds a ton of depth to the story.
Narrator's gay, like, narrator's gay.
That's wild. This episode is actually just us, like, talking about American classics and being like, they're actually gay. You're welcome.
Honestly, mm-hmm. like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. Mm-hmm. But are there any other, I would say, do you want to just like go around and say, you know, what's like one of, what's a book about queerness that you've read recently that, or not recently, you know, that has stuck with you?
Mm-hmm. Well,
or like an important author.
Yeah, I've recently read Proxies, Essays Near Knowing by Brian Blanchfield, which is, like, it's a collection of essays, and they're, like, kind of prose poetry, and they're very cool. They're all, like, kind of essays, but they're completely from the dome.
Yeah.
No research whatsoever. And it sort of does a lot of explorations of memory and stuff, but Brian Blanchfield is queer, the author.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of the essays that were about queerness, but a lot of it is, like, subtle. A lot of it is on the back burner, and it's really cool how he investigates that kind of thing.
Absolutely. Katie, have you read anything recently that you're excited about?
Sometimes when I have my downtime at the Aqua Bowl, I mess around on Poetry Foundation, which is fun because, you know, you can read a little poem in a minute or two. And a lot of times I read Dinesh Smith. And I want to say they're Chicago-based. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do a lot of work at Poetry Foundation, and they have really good poems that are... I think I mentioned this when we did our couple poetry episodes, but a lot of times I think why like middle schoolers and stuff hate reading poetry is because it's so like abstract and grand and like a reflection on like why we're here often.
Think about these two words for 7 hours.
Yeah, but theirs is very almost like I'm reading someone's journal that's very creative. And I think it's easy to interact with. So check out them on Poetry Foundation, Dinesh Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Up and coming, very good.
Yeah, their podcast is also super great.
I've heard that, and I haven't listened, so...
Yeah, it's called Verses. Check it out. They talk about, like, queerness a ton, and it's very fun, you know?
Oh, mm-hmm. Love that.
Queer writers just have a fun chatter about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, yes.
For sure.
Marina, have you read any?
Yes, recently I have been... I've had to read a lot for class, so it's been, I feel like, pretty much for the bulk of every quarter, it's like really difficult for me to fit pleasure reading in, but that doesn't mean that I haven't been reading queer stories. So I've been reading, I read recently some short stories by D.H. Lawrence, one called The Prussian Officer, and it's like so intensely homoerotic.
Oh.
And I don't know actually about D.H. Lawrence himself, so I will maybe try to find this out, but I wouldn't be surprised. He explores sexuality, emotional health, vitality, spontaneity, and instinct, it says on the Wikipedia page. But it was like a really interesting story. And it's pretty short if y'all wanted to read it.
Ooh.
But basically, and then I read... Audre Lorde, Uses of the Erotic, like last quarter, which is a really great queer piece, I think, because it's very intersectional. I mean, like, it just, she has no choice but to approach everything with like intersectional perspective, as like a black lesbian. And so it's a really powerful piece because it talks about just kind of like power dynamics and like liberation and just like really powerful narratives about just kind of like being yourself and like existence as a form of resistance.
Yeah.
Which, and so I love that. And I think she has such a great voice and like a really powerful style, like great like metaphors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
Lord's writing is just good to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, let's have She's an air awesome. Horn for Lord, because it's the last time I'll ever get to do this.
Please.
And that is not something I thought I was going to do here today.
Yeah, a little treat for you listeners. Yeah,
I'm going to be throwing in some sound effects throughout the episode because we really like underused the sound effects.
I was about to say,
here.
I didn't even know that that was like an ordinance that we had.
Yeah, there's a couple.
Make up for lost time.
Yeah.
Marina wasn't here for TV episode. That had a lot of sound effects.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like...
Looking at Marina's face right now.
The amount of times that we could have put that to such a is like, guys, imagine during the astrology episode.
Oh, I know. There are a couple. I'll throw them in.
Yeah.
A little bit surprised.
I think we should get to that kind of review kind of stuff maybe after the break.
Yeah. I just got excited.
Wait, can I say the one last thing that I've been reading? I also just finished for class last week this book called How All Politics Became Reproductive Politics.
Ooh. Oh.
Fascinating read. I really recommend it to everyone. And there was a big fat chapter in it about about how basically queer families and reproductive rights and like how like non-heterosexual, non-monogamous families like navigated familyhood basically,
yeah.
Especially in a society that basically positions any non-white or non-heterosexual, yeah.
like the nuclear
non-monogamous
family.
Families as like other or, yeah. and or deviant. Mm-hmm. And so it was like super fascinating and I learned so much about just kind of like the history of like queer reproduction and the way that like lesbians would carry babies for their like male gay friends,
yeah.
or like gay men would like basically like it was basically like DIY artificial insemination.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
That yeah. like would happen in queer communities and it was like just super super fascinating and I wrote a paper on it and
that's
the last thing that I've read that like really explicitly dealt with queer narratives and it was like so illustrative for me.
That was a great list. It was like some academic theory, there was like some nonfiction, there was some fiction. Wow.
Yeah.
Came through with an answer.
Yeah.
And I'm well-rounded.
Mine is less well-rounded. And fairly repetitive because I mention these books like all the time on air because it's the only thing I'm ever reading. I'm a slow reader.
Well,
okay,
that
guys.
One is an enormous book.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'll get to it. I'm not going to start with that one, though. I'm going to start with one of my favorites. It's a memoir, which I think is interesting, but Running with Scissors by Augustine Burroughs.
Right.
Great book, and it has some problematic like thought on queerness because there is some like light pedophilia, light pedophilia.
Call me by your name type stuff.
Yeah. That kind of stuff. So slightly problematic, but it is about you know understanding like. Augustine like understanding like his queerness and his gayness growing up like as a child in a very like unique and strange environment and how this kind of like fosters through like meeting this man who and he has like sexual encounters with this man and like you know I think in the book like he actually has the moment where he's like oh I'm gay because he's living with a psychiatrist and the psychiatrist is like you're gay.
Oh.
Yeah, and so it's
diagnosed with
yeah
gay.
It's like diagnostic, which is strange and also problematic, but it's just a really interesting book to read in a memoir sense, I think, because it's such like a personal narrative and he like discusses, you know, his feelings about like being a queer person and being around like other straight people who are like trying to help him navigate his queerness, which I think is something that a lot of queer people face. Like straight people or heterosexual people trying to like co-opt the queerness or like
Yeah.
Become involved or something.
I want to say it. No. That's what the straight people are like.
I want a say in your sexuality.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful book. I highly recommend. It's a little strange, but, and they also made a movie out of it. I think Lucas Hedges was in it. Oh. Like,
oh my
real
gosh,
young.
I've had enough of that kid. Oh, when he's young. That's one of my.
I've had enough of that kid.
That's one of my sister's favorite books, and she always tells me to read it. So now I've got to hit.
I might be like completely lying. I'm just saying. Like,
well, I think you're thinking of Boy Erased, who Lucas Hedges played. That's like the conversion therapy.
Joseph Cross plays Augustine Burroughs, and the movie has Annette Bening.
Then it's worth watching.
She plays his mother, who is, and Alec Baldwin as well. And Gwyneth Paltrow. It's a real Kristen Chenoweth. It's a real star-studded cast.
Yeah. As we're talking about these queer writers, maybe let's go to a kind of different genre.
Yeah.
The genre of music.
The genre
for our first song
of
break.
Queer music.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Seamless transition.
That was genius, so Riley.
We like hand selected these tunes for you.
With my own hands.
With our own
I grabbed
hands.
Them and put them here.
For the first song, please enjoy Pink and White by Frank Ocean.
Every day goes, every time we've no control. If the sky is pink and white, if the ground is black and yellow, it's the same way you showed me. Nod my head, don't close my eyes, halfway on a slow move. It's the same way you showed me. If you could fly, then you'd feel south. Up north's getting cold soon. The way it is, we're on land, so I'm someone to hold true. Keep you cool when it's still alive. Won't let you down when it's all ruined. Just the same way you showed me. Showed me. You showed me love. Of a summer shade, nose dive in the flood lines, tall tower, milk crate. It's the same way you showed me. Cannonball off the porch side, older kids trying off the roof. Just the same way you showed me. You showed. If you could die and come back to life, up for air from the swimming pool, you kneel down to the dry land, kiss the earth that birthed you. Gave you tools just to stay alive and make it up when the sun is ruined. That's the same way you showed me. Showed. You showed me love.
Welcome back, Scrawl Nation. This is Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection, and you're listening to Scrawl Radio. You're keeping the burn sounds on.
I'm keeping the burn sounds on.
That was really pleasant.
Yeah.
I feel calm. Extremely relaxed.
Yeah, Frank Ocean always puts me in that vibe.
Yeah, good vibes.
So good.
Good vibes.
So, how are y'all feeling about those queer writers? What was on your mind? I know, Gia, you wanted to say something more.
Yeah, it's like another book to talk about. really quick, because I've mentioned them before. So the other book I want to talk about was Carol Queen's Real Life New Girl, which I've read and loaned to people. That one is a little more, it's nonfiction. She's a sex positive sex educator. She is also identifies as a bisexual Wicca.
Hell so. Yeah.
Everyone yeah. read Carol Queen because she wild.
I need that by witch representation.
Yeah, but she's written a lot of books about like queer theory and sexuality in general and like sex education. For example, one of besides Real Life New Girl, one of my favorites, one of my favorite like projects she did was Bend Over Boyfriend, which is it's a book and it's discussing like heterosexual but like also homoerotic like sex between like I'm not gonna explain it. We're on radio. I went in too far. But I also like Honey Yaganahara's or Little Life, which is a book I talk about all the time because it literally took me like half a year to read because it's like a 900 page book.
What is it? What's it about?
Thick. it's about four men and. They're like post-grad, like graduating college, and they moved to New York. And it's just each about their lives from their vantage points, but there is like a main character. We see his perspective most throughout the book. And all of them are queer in like one way or another. But it also discusses, and so it talks a lot about queer relationships and like queer love, especially as like an adult. Ooh. Which I think is really interesting because I
it's
feel
not
like
just like coming out stories.
Yeah, because I think while I do love a coming out story, I think that a lot of literature like
there's
that's
more.
That's what it's discussing, and you know, like you don't see a lot of just like normalization of like queer relationships as like an adult. And so it's a beautiful book. It's pretty triggering. I'm gonna like do a trigger warning. There's a lot of like discussions of abuse and whatnot.
So it's very real.
It's real real. It's a lot to get through, but yeah, it discusses.
You get a lot with that, don't you?
Yeah,
like you get a lot of the kind of domesticity.
Yeah, it's discussing, but it's also just talking about like vulnerability and like being comfortable with sexuality as like an adult. And it, you know, discusses the whole like being adult in like a professional world and like, you know, navigating queerness with like heterosexual like coworkers and like, you know, being comfortable. You know, it's discussing like all these facets of queer relationships that I don't think is touched on in a lot of books that discuss like younger relationships because I think there's a lot more that evolves with adult relationships. But yeah, those are my books.
Okay. I really, really, really want to read that now, so I'm going to need you to send that to me.
You really should. I did the audiobook, actually. I should stop saying I read it. I listened to it. Okay. It did take me half a year, though, because it's like 40 hours of content.
Yeah.
No one would judge you for that. That's a long book.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think I can stare at pages that long. Audiobook is amazing. The narrator who they have is, I forget the name, but he is wonderful. It's so much emotion. I'm literally like always crying on the train because of this book.
I love an emotional audiobook narrator.
I just want to talk about actually one more book now. because if we're talking about both queer families and queer relationships as an adult. I know there's several DePaul classes that have had this book because it is a pretty recent it's nonfiction. It's also kind of like a memoir. The Argonauts. I read it in by Maggie Nelson. I read it in Issues in Sex and Gender, which is a philosophy class.
I took that class.
I read it in Writing the Obscene.
Well, the first line of that book is obscene, and that's I remember we discussed that line for like a whole class period, but yeah, so it's been a couple years since I read it, but it's her experience of being pregnant, like as her partner's like just transitioning, and the fact that from the offset, if you saw them, their family might look like, you know, the regular
nuclear
heterosexual
family.
Heterosexual family that, you know, you're used to in popular representation, but it's not at all, and like navigating that and the hardships that come with that, and then like after the child is born and like letting the child decide themselves how they want to like figure out their own identity and how they fit into the family. It's very interesting, and I know it's
people.
I don't want to say like popular, but it's kind of like a viral book. It only came out a couple of years ago, and it's really, there's a lot to discuss there.
Yeah, definitely. There's so much depth that professors can jump into.
Yeah. Well,
that is awesome.
Besides queer writing, we also wanted to take a moment in this episode to just reflect on this past year.
Exactly. I was wondering what y'all's favorite episodes were for this past Scrawl Radio year.
Yeah. I think mine was the journaling episode.
The journaling one?
Yeah. I know. I think I hosted that one.
Yeah, that was so a little bit your baby.
It's a little bit my baby.
That was an awesome episode. I had like such a blast.
Yeah, I just had like a really great time. And I think I like talking through the concepts of journaling, especially as something like I do very regularly, I think I like uncovered a lot more that I can do with it, if that makes sense. Like it opened my mind to like new perspectives on it.
I'm gonna journal different today.
Exactly.
I love that.
Yeah.
Opening up the possibilities for writing is really, really good.
Really, really good.
Marina, what was your favorite episode? If you had to pick one.
I also loved the journaling episode, and I loved the food episode. Obviously, that was also my baby.
Yeah.
And I also really liked the poetry episode where we read our own poetry to one another.
Oh, that was
That was really fun. I forgot about that. That was like a cute little vulnerable bonding moment. And it was awesome because we're all good. So I really, those are probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
I think one of the best things is when writers talk about their own writing and share their own writing.
Yeah.
That is.
Be vulnerable.
So fresh.
Katie?
Well, it's been touched on, but yeah, I would also say the second poetry episode, because like the journaling one, that was the one where we talked the most about like our own processes and like how we used to write, you know, when we were younger and how it's evolved and how it's something that we stay connected to. And I think that was the episode that had the most discussion of that, which was really interesting.
I hear
coworkers talk about in the Friday morning.
Heck yeah.
Every Friday morning. At 11 o'clock.
Well, Riley, what was your favorite episode?
I was also such a big fan of the poetry episode. That was so, so good. And I'm like, I love poetry a lot myself. I've had a weird relationship with poetry, but at this stage in my life, I'm all into it again.
All in.
And I just loved that discussion so much. But I think my favorite would have to be the episode that was kind of my baby this quarter, which
our
is the fantasy and world building episode where we brought Sam on.
Yeah.
That I really loved because it's just such
it's your niche.
Yeah. And it's like the most pleasurable writing to me. Mm-hmm. Like all my other writing is kind of just work or not just work.
Yeah.
But I have to work at it. I have to chisel away. Mm-hmm.
There's more of a working component.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's doesn't come as naturally because you're not as excited about it.
Yeah.
There's a writer's diligence that I have to invoke in order to write like poetry or prose or anything like that. But for like fantasy writing, it's purely creative and it's all just play in the mind.
As you said earlier, straight from the dome.
Straight from the dome. And yeah, that's what I loved. That's what I loved about that.
I love that.
We had a good year.
We had a good year.
It was fun. A little devoid of sound effects, but
let's get some applause. Is there an applause one?
Yeah, of course. Oh wait, I don't have the sound effect thing on. This is gonna be like jarring. I have to stop it. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh please.
It's like theater applause.
No,
I thought
stop,
it was
going to
be like cheering for some reason.
No, it's
that's
you know,
okay.
It's professional.
Flashy. Yeah.
I do want to take the segue moment to talk about Scrawl in general because this is my last. This is all of our last episodes on Scrawl. So Scrawl will not be continuing, unfortunately. However, all of us have expressed interest in opening like new radio shows, so
being around
so like maybe like listen out for our voices or like we'll maybe plug something and we know like on our Twitter. Never mind.
I'm gonna take over the Scrawl Twitter,
but yeah, Scrawl is
dead, introduce Scrawl 2.
my new Scrawl But yeah, I've been on Scrawl for now 2.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's like 2.3 years. Yeah, because there's one quarter. 2.3 years, and it's been, I think, one of the main creative outlets for me, and I've really appreciated the work I've been able to do, and like the discussions I've been able to have on this radio show, and autonomy I get to have with my voice and my thoughts. And I like to listen to myself talk. So that's
the thing.
A really great outlet. Scrawl, I love you. And you're my baby. And shout out past Scrawl hosts as well.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Shout out everyone that ever did Scrawl.
Yeah. Everyone was a guest.
Scrawl Nation.
Friends of Scrawl. Scrawl Nation in general.
Scrawl allies.
Yes. Friends of the show. Yeah. It's been a wild ride, but no more. It's
What you say.
Oh
my
God. they just do that. I thought it was gonna be
probably
longer.
Like copyright something.
Probably upset that
we never did it.
That we just didn't utilize. I literally was just fully not aware that there were sound effects.
I wasn't either.
They were these like specific and funny. They're not just like boyoing. It's like literally like
just references,
actual jokes. Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's literally.
What you say?
Wow, it's amazing.
Wow. that was so
there's
sweet.
Also there's a drum roll, and this one just says "We live, baby," and I've never clicked it.
Oh,
baby, we are live.
We live, baby.
We live, baby.
We live, baby.
I'm cutting that short.
Just like too long. Like at least three times longer than I needed it to be.
Yeah, it's not what I was expecting.
But that was, Gia, that was so heartfelt.
Thank you.
For my like e-portfolio, I went in and listened to a lot of our older episodes, and honestly, I can't recommend that enough.
Yeah,
it was so like just fun, just listening to us talk to each other and have fun.
Aww. What I'll say. Scrawl, I think, might be like the smallest team at the Aqua Bowl, other than
besides
like Rachel's one person team.
Oh yeah, films team, which is two people
Rachel's
usually.
So I think it's a really cool opportunity to like collaborate on a project with a few other people,
because
it's a lot of like hangout time, and you end up having some very fun, you know.
Yeah. I met Katie through Scrawl.
Yeah, and look at us now.
Look at us.
Like interpersonal connections and stuff. So, I think it's great. Like professional and social experience.
Yeah. Everyone should just have a radio show.
Yeah.
It's a really good outlet for you to just speak your mind for a little.
Yeah. And spending enough time with somebody else, you come up with cool things. And people like to hear that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Thank you, Scrawl.
Thanks, Scrawl.
Did y'all know it's Prince's birthday?
I did not know that.
No, but thank God.
And he rests in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, R.I.P. Prince. Additionally, something else we just wanted to hit on was we had the Liz Awards, which was good.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of a quick change.
How was that?
Yeah, Riley was not there.
I was away. I was in Wisconsin.
I'll have to say that
the Liz Awards went well.
I personally received many accolades on our collective hosting.
I did as well.
When I went to work, everyone had something to say, so I mean, that means we did it. We did the thing.
a cool blur told me that I had a great vocal inflection for comedic purposes, and I was like,
well, that is such a specific compliment. I love it.
I'll
like,
tell you
thank
who it
you
was
that's
after.
The science.
Oh, secrets.
Sorry,
Scrawl Nation.
Some things we can't just say. Does everyone have any like final thoughts before we hit into our next song break about the radio and Scrawl and anything of this year in review?
Radio's just so much fun.
Radio's fun.
I had a great time.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll say that much.
Yeah. I'm happy. I'm not that emo, even though, you know, Scrawl's ending. A lot of people are graduating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for everything that came out of my experience, my second year at the Aqua Bowl.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that, like, the process of us... our planning, I feel like it was really helpful in terms of like having the skill of kind of like improvising slash like working off of like not having like a very like specific script, you know, like not a literal script, but rather just like the way that we came up with like ideas and topics and themes, and then we're able to all just like break into them on air and like really flesh them out. And in many cases, honestly, like literally not even get to everything on the show plan because we have so much to say.
Yeah.
That was like cool. And I feel like that is a skill that we all deepened this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so good to follow a conversation like off of the planned progression of it.
It's very natural.
Agree.
Really quick before we go into the break, my mom texted me and she said, just her two cents, because she is Skrull Nation. Anita Zampardo, shout out, friend of the show, also
shout
my mom.
Out Mrs. Zampardo.
She said she liked the episode that was about fantasy writing, and she also really liked the horoscope episode. Astrology episodes, classic.
Astrology.
Thank you to my Taurus mother.
The astrology episode. Like, I honestly think that we could have like an astrology radio show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. And that would be, and that's an idea.
Summer.
And that might be a project. Proposal.
I was going to air horn that idea, but I'm not going to do it now.
I verbally air horn.
That was a little surprise.
That's my air horn. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. I've worked on it. Okay. Alrighty. Second song break.
Yeah. It's about time for that.
Yeah. We're listening to I Don't Feel Like Dancing by Sisters Sisters.
When you But I don't feel like dancing when the yo-yo went ablaze. My heart could take a chance, but my two feet can't find a way. You think that I could muster up a little soft shoe devil's way. But I don't feel like dancing, no sir, no dancing today.
Welcome back.
Scrawl Nation.
Scrawl Nation.
Alrighty. We're at the conclusion of our show. We were talking about queer writing and then talking about our farewells for Scrawl.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
So do we want to do a final what you're reading?
Yeah.
It's well, only
kinda,
right.
Even though
it's
we kind of right. like, talked about what we're reading, but you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I actually have more that I'm reading, but who would like to go first?
I can go first. I, as we all know, I bought a bike off Craigslist and I've been like talking about it a lot last week. So I was...
Katie's a bike girl now.
Yeah, join my bike gang. So I was riding by the lake on Wednesday and I stopped at Montrose Beach and I was like, I'm going to read a new book. So I started to read Ethan Frome by Edith Wharton. And I don't know if anyone's read that, but it's all about like the winter in Massachusetts. Mm. And I was sitting on the beach and it was so sunny and it just like wasn't working out for me, like the dissonance. So yeah. I like stopped like 15 pages in and started to listen to the Beastie Boys and like just lay there with the sun on my face.
Gorgeous.
But... from what I read, it seemed like it's going to be a great winter read.
Ooh.
And I'm excited to revisit it, but I just don't know if I can do it in this season because I'm so excited about summer. But that's what I did read this week.
Love that. Marina, do you ever read?
I am, as I kind of previously mentioned, struggling to like incorporate pleasure reading into my life. But I am going to soon, I guess. I've been reading like a lot of Sam Pink. I talked about Sam Pink during our poetry episode. He's like a Chicago-based poet. Mm-hmm. And I bought one of his books, read it, and then I bought another one and read it, and then I gave both of them to people already. So who knows if I'll ever see them again, but that's not really the point. And I think that my next... like thing that I'm going to embark on reading is this biography of Fela Kuti that my dad gave me for Christmas that I keep wanting to read, and then I'm in school and I have to just be reading literally like one book a week, and that's just like a lot for my tiny steamed pea brain. But like summer is fast approaching, so I know that I don't have like a job for summer because the travel plans that I have are not conducive to me like holding down any kind of position. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna be doing
reading,
a lot of reading and other free things.
Say a free activity.
I love that. Good for you.
So book recs, I'm open to them.
Yeah. Do you have a library card?
No.
You should get one.
They're free. Yep.
They're free.
Famously,
they have all these books in there. I have all these books in there. It's wonderful. I'm reading a few things, but they're all things that I pulled out of like free book bins, which I've been doing a lot lately, and now I have like a billion more books. But I'm reading right now A Long Way Gone, Memoirs of a Boy Soldier by Ishmael Bea.
From the free book box outside the Loop Bookable, which we love.
Indeedy. It's from 2007, so it's a little older, but it is a memoir, and I love a memoir. And it's basically about this boy in Sierra Leone who becomes a child soldier in the Civil War.
I read that in high school.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to start reading it, so.
Oh. I hate to say this, but memoirs would have been such a good episode.
Yeah. I think we...
yeah.
Oh, no, we didn't do memoirs.
We, like, thought about it.
We kind of did.
We talked about them in other...
we talked about, like, whether or not you have to be truthful in your memoir.
Oh, yeah. That was fun, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Gia, I recommend, like...
yeah.
Like sandwiching your readings of this book with like
something
self-care.
A little more lighthearted.
Yeah, it's
It looks like it's gonna be a hard read.
It is. It's
honestly
difficult.
Though.
But also, they had us read it when we were like 14.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If
If I can read A Little Life, I can get through this. Honestly, yeah. A Little this Life is cool. Got this some is cool. some real stuff that's difficult. But yeah, I'm excited to start it. I also am soon going to start Pursuit of Happiness by Christopher Gardner, which is like a famous movie with Will Smith and his son. But it's also based off of another memoir by the real Chris Gardner. And it's about homelessness and fatherhood. And it's very beautiful. Riley?
Yeah. I think I've been rereading Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
Love.
Which is one of my favorite plays. I've gotten really into writing plays this quarter.
Ooh.
So I took an intro to creative writing class and it made me write for the first time a nonfiction piece, just a short story and a play and specific poems within forms, which has been really awesome in helping me figure out like what kind of creative projects I love. And I love writing plays.
I love that for you.
They're super fun. I love like putting two characters next to one another and having them bounce back and forth with mm-hmm. fun dialogue.
Well, I want to read one of your plays when you're, you know, when you finish it.
Yeah, when I'm a fantastic playwright, I'll send to everyone
mm-hmm.
every play that I have.
Mm-hmm.
That's something not a lot of people do, like read a play for pleasure.
Yeah, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead is truly a pleasure to read. It's thrilling because like the dialogue is so fun and clever and smart and like curious. It's a lot like a philosophical text because there's a ton of like deeper themes and questions that underlie things, but you also mm-hmm. get very human and small curiosity, frustration, bouncing back and forth, just like how dialogue happens. And it's really cool how Tom Stoppard, the author, is able to meld those extremely human voices and characters mm-hmm. and huge themes and real investigations of things.
Yeah. I love that. I'll have to check it out. I haven't even heard about that until recently. It was an answer on Jeopardy.
Oh,
yeah.
Love that.
What was Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead?
Yeah.
I've heard of it like extensively, but I don't really know what it is.
I think I had to read it in high school for
sum it up
something.
A little bit if you want.
Could you?
Yeah, it's a play about Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, who, if you really, really, really like Hamlet, you might remember.
Oh, no, I remember the characters.
Yeah. Okay, there's two like side characters who are like Hamlet's friends
and they're like
that.
Hey, could you like be normal? And he's like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and they die at the end. And it's very
as
much
many
like,
do.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
they're like the last people who you learn die, and it's like, oh, even those two little like, why did you just tell us these two guys died? Why does that matter when Hamlet dies and like everyone else in the courtroom dies or something like that? But Tom Stoppard writes this whole play from the perspective of these two characters. And Hamlet shows up. Like, the events of Hamlet happen in the background.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hey, buddy.
Yeah. But it's about Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. And it all takes place in this very kind of, like, fuzzy reality mm-hmm. where, like, things happen with little to no explanation. It's very, like, surreal, very, like, kind of, like, abstract.
Love that.
But yeah, I love it. It takes these two characters and fleshes them out in a way that really creates something fantastically new.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining
Forever.
Us.
Thank you, Skrull.
Thank you, Skrull. Thank you for joining us for these past few years. We've had a lovely time. Shout out Skrull Nation. Shout out Aaron Herman for helping us organize our team this year. Shout out Matthew Pearson for helping us organize our team in previous years. Shout out all previous hosts, friends of Skrull, hosts of Skrull Now.
Shout out to you, Gia, for remembering all
Shout
of
out to
people.
Gia for graduating.
For board operation.
Yeah,
for incredible work.
For sound effects in the last couple episodes, too.
Yeah, you know
Let's get one.
Yeah, let's get
For good,
let's
for all time's sake. Yeah. For new now time's sake.
Yeah, for new now. We're going to end with one more curb, I think. And then we're going to... But anyways, thank you, Skrull Nation. It's been a pleasure. This is Skrull signing off.
Indefinitely.